All right, hello again, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, the podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm your host, your podcast pal. And with me today to discuss certainly the biggest thing in movies, nerd, geek, comic culture going on right now to discuss Avengers Infinity War is my good buddy Matt.
Hey, everybody.
Boy, that is some movie.
It was awesome.
We have both seen it twice, and I think we saw it at the same times,
right.
Both times.
Both saw it opening night on Thursday.
Yeah. And then we went again yesterday. And man, before we get into this, though, I will just go ahead and say, because I this is going to be spoilers probably top to bottom. So if you haven't seen it yet, go do that, because
if you're the type of person that wants to sit down and listen to podcasts about a movie before you see it, we're talking to you.
Yeah. If you're one of those weirdos, you know, I say weirdos, but sometimes I know that there are movies that I haven't seen that I listen to podcasts about, and then I was like, I'm never going to see that movie. But then listening to the podcast, I go, you know what? Kind of want to see this movie now.
Usually, sometimes people can't, because of work or whatever, they've not been able to get out to it yet, maybe. But so we're going to spoil it.
But make the time. Come on. You owe it to yourself to...
Don't sleep on Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah. Yeah. I want people to support this thing because I want them to keep
making
these.
If you want more movies like this, yeah. You got
to... I got to support this thing because it needs all our support. But yeah, this is going to be tons of spoilers. I don't want to have to think of, it's hard enough for me to think and talk. I don't want to have to be constantly thinking about is what I'm saying.
Right. We don't want to ruin it for anybody. So
yeah.
Pause it, go see the movie and come back.
We'll be back. We'll be here when you get back. But just before we get into really talking about it, just sort of general impressions, how you feel about it.
I loved it. It was definitely epic in scope. It felt like those big event comic book stories, the good ones, like we're just, man, so much is crammed in.
In a way that nothing previously has.
Yeah, yeah. There's not been another movie like this. Not even just comic book movie. I don't think there's been anything that's done what this has done. I would definitely say, man, it's up there as one of the best movies that Marvel Studios has put out. And I think the only thing that would keep me from just hands down saying is my favorite is the tone is pretty heavy. So I wonder about in reviewings, you know, you got to be in the right mood for the gut punch of that tone. But it's definitely up there. And they pulled off something really amazing.
So
that movie.
Speaking of tone, and I'll say you should see the other Marvel movies first. I would not just run into this. You don't have to
accept Incredible Hulk.
You don't have to, you don't have to have seen all of them, but, well, you know, this is something to, real quick, let's go through which Marvel movies we think people should see to get the most enjoyment out of.
Like, bare minimum, or the bare minimum, I'm going to say both Avengers movies.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Captain America Civil War. Or... Doctor Strange.
Okay. My list is probably much longer.
As far as what movies should people see, but I'm trying to think the least you could see and know what's happening.
The other day somebody was asking me, a guy who was, he's into these movies and he really wants to go see it, but he's like, but I've missed a bunch of them. And he's like, not because I didn't want to, just, you know, didn't. And he's like, which ones do I need to see? He's like, do I need to see? And he was just kind of going through lists. He's like, do I need to see this one?
Yeah.
And I would go, yeah. Some of them was just like, yes. And then some of them I would go like, nah, you don't need to, well, you know, or going like, well, you kind of get, the movie's not the best, but you kind of getting, it's not the most important, but it really does give you a clearer picture of what, you know, Thor and Loki's relationship is like.
Right. If it's purely on introducing yourself to the characters, then that list is going to be a lot longer. If you're just going on, you know, the... Where do Infinity Stones appear? You know, so I know what's going on with that.
I didn't realize that's the angle you were taking.
When I was just broad stroke introduction to characters. Because I feel like the first Avengers movie was done in such a way that if you hadn't seen any of the standalones, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
But
I'll go with that.
Again, no. Iron Man 1 is amazing. Captain America: The First Avenger is amazing. Seriously.
You know, and
you're only hurting yourself.
You're only hurting yourself. We talked about this a little bit previously. I don't think it was recorded, but we were talking about it, I think yesterday, about like, I think that both of the, well, first of all, I think that the Thor trilogy, which is so insane to think that in our lifetimes we have
multiple superhero trilogies.
Yeah, like Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor trilogies, when just not that long ago, that would have seemed
bonkers.
Just completely bonkers. Literally 10 years ago, that would have seemed insane. You know, yeah. Like the
only characters like Batman and Superman, Spider-Man, yeah. X-Men. Yeah.
Blade.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, the fact that we had a Blade trilogy before we had a Captain America trilogy. But the Thor trilogy, I think, really is like the most... It's sort of got the most... It does the most as far as like the difference between the first one and the third one.
It gets the most improvement report card?
Well, it certainly gets the most improvement. But it really, like, I don't think the first and the second one, I get why people don't like them as much. I get why people don't like the Thor movies just in general as much. Because he's kind of like it's a harder nut to crack sort of to make this world.
Right.
You know, that Thor world sort of relatable or whatever. And I think they do a great job. But I was going to say, I think that the Thor movies sort of don't get enough credit for being good.
Mm-hmm.
And being like interesting, doing interesting things. I mean, obviously Ragnarok has gotten a lot of credit for, because it's really out there. And it really, but I mean, people, it you couldn't have just started Thor with that. Like, you have to appreciate the...
And they have to walk that, they have to straddle superhero and fantasy elements.
Yeah.
And if anything, from the first two Thor movies, I wish they leaned harder into the fantasy stuff. Man, go full on Lord of the Rings, big fantasy with it, because you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like if you miss out on the Thor standalones, the Avengers is not going to have the same weight,
because
you've got the Loki and...
Loki's just Thor's like a bad guy in Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And you, spoilers if you haven't seen the first Avengers, you know, he's just like a bad guy. And you feel more to him if you have seen what their relationship was like in Thor. And you see hints of that sort of greater, what their greater relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
But, and of course, then Avengers sends them off onto what their next business is for Thor the Dark World. I don't know. This is like kind of scattered in my mind, but I've seen recently, I saw some people, may have been the same person. Look, I'm just trying to cover my bases. talking about like why the Thor movies are kind of underrated. And I was like, yeah, you all are, however many people it was that were talking about this, like really making some good points about that it's easy to lose when you're just going, oh, I'm just trying to go see a superhero movie. And especially that first one, you know, it's so wild that Kenneth Branagh directed that first Thor movie. Because that's just not someone I would have ever thought to go, let's get this guy to do a superhero movie. But he really did some stuff in there where you're like, oh, that's interesting. And it's like stuff that's not just surface level, or that's not as immediately apparent, just thinking about, oh, this happens, then Thor gets into a fight and yada, you know, like
casting Anthony Hopkins.
Well, that's
Odin was pretty.
I think that Marvel inspired. Has been pretty they've really shown us some great casting choices, and with some people where I was like, really? For some of the, you know, mm-hmm. every now and then you're kind of like, but to the point now where I'm like, yeah.
Whatever you say.
Whatever you say. You guys clearly know what you're doing. I'm not going to try to think I can outsmart you on some of this stuff.
Yeah. So essential to see before Infinity War.
I think you need both of the Guardian movies. Well, maybe
I think you just need the first one, honestly.
Maybe you don't need the second one.
No, the second one's going to be, it's a good movie, a fun ride, but as far as like, you have X number of hours before Infinity War.
Yeah. I guess you need Avengers, you need Doctor Strange, you need the first Guardians.
Thor Ragnarok's definitely gonna get you there.
Yeah.
But they...
know what the deal with it, what, you know, why these people are... Yeah, maybe you could just get it all from... What are we forgetting? Oh, you need Spider-Man. Probably.
Yeah. It's just, do you think so he's good. Introduced enough in Civil War, though, that you're good?
Oh, I forgot you said Civil War.
But you should totally see Spider-Man.
You really should. Well, there's no Ned in it. So you don't... I mean, even though Ned's just in it for a second, you need... I guess you could get that he's Spider-Man's friend.
Hey, kid, create a distraction.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I would put Spider-Man in there. It's so good.
Just go see them all, except for Incredible Hulk, and you're going to be in
good
shape.
You're going to be A-OK.
I'm glad you did.
You could skip Iron Man 2 and 3. I mean, not that they're not good.
Right.
You could skip Iron Man. You get it. You get his deal between those two Avengers movies and Civil War. You got a neat little... Because this has basically been like what has been... I wish I hadn't asked this now. anyway. I think is this something we're forgetting?
You don't need any of the TV shows.
Oh, good grief, no. But you don't need... you don't need Ant-Man.
No, you really don't. It may end up you need them before it's over, but...
Right.
You don't need them for just this one. Because he's not in it.
Spoiler. They do mention him, at least.
Yeah, you've got... Nice Bruce Banner saying you've got an Ant-Man and a Spider-Man.
So, overall impressions... I couldn't recommend enough. It's like incredible. A+, loved it.
And I say that the tone's heavy, but there's definitely humor in it as well. It's not like Thor Ragnarok level of comedy, but there were definitely enough jokes in there that there are lines I caught on the second pass that I couldn't hear because people were laughing
absolutely.
So hard on the first pass.
Yeah, which is nice about going to one of those midday week, you know, during the week showings as opposed to the like premiere night, is even though the theater was pretty full, we were not
well. How many people in that theater on a Monday matinee you think had already seen it over the weekend?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because there were definitely some people that look like people who would go see these movies, you know, us included.
Yeah,
I don't know. But, so now we'll totally get into spoilers. And speaking of the tone, since you brought it up, this was a thing that I kept thinking about during the movie. And then after the movie, it was like one of the first things that came up in the car, like on the drive home, between when April and I were talking about this, mm-hmm. was what... this is certainly the... I don't know if... It's not that it's... I mean, the movie doesn't feel... dark, you know, because it's like even
heavy might be better than
heavy
dark.
Yeah, it definitely feels heavy, and I know you took at least one of your kids.
I took Thomas. Yeah, I took my 10-year-old, almost 11-year-old.
But I just kept thinking, I was going like, I cannot imagine, ever since we had that conversation where you were telling me about like going to see Spider-Man and like some of the stuff in there that completely like, I don't even think about.
Right.
Because I'm not taking a kid to see it. There's stuff where it's like, now I'm like so much more aware of that. And I was just going, I can't imagine. There's going to be some tough talks leaving this theater.
Right.
Where I was just like, that I do not envy. So I'm just watching it from like a comic fan, like, you know, fan of these movies. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
My I'm trying to temper my dread that something bad is going to happen to... Uh-oh. That something bad is going to happen to Captain America. Anyone else, I'm basically fine with whatever happening, but I was just like, can we please just not have anything happen to Captain America? So what was... I mean,
the end credit scene of Avengers 4 is him signing another 5-movie contract.
Yeah, like, oh, thank goodness.
He and Kevin Feige at a desk, out of character, panned to the Marvel Studios lot in Atlanta, and he's signing a contract, and everybody cheers.
Yeah.
Hooray! And then it disintegrates, yeah. You know, as the Infinity Gauntlet spin. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you... So what is that like? And was that... Did you have to deal with any of that?
Yeah. Like thinking as a parent, is any of this too intense?
Or was there any conversation afterwards? Like,
oh, we talked a lot about it afterwards, and I definitely there was that we, you know. So I saw it with my son and several college students. I'm a college pastor at University of Memphis, and we just all went as a big group after a cookout. And yeah, we had that, you know, afterwards, what about this? What about this? Oh man, I can't believe they did this. And then you realize as you're leaving the theater, you're turning that corner, you've got a long line of people about to go in the next show and, hey, we got to shut up. We can't run it for these guys. So I remember telling my son, like, we're definitely going to talk about this. We can't talk about it now. Cause we don't want to spoil it for these people.
I heard people talking, I heard somebody say on Twitter that there was two kids behind them, like a boy and a girl behind them, that were just like sobbing
mm-hmm.
when the movie was over. And the little girl said, I want to stab Thanos in the face, or something to that effect. And I was just going like, oh yeah. Like, cause we know like, they're going to make more of these movies. Right. I think everything's going to be okay. Generally,
if you just took it purely at face value, this is what
kids don't know about contracts and like, this, you know, like that. Yeah, they don't know about Marvel's slate of movies that are like, they're not thinking about that.
The next Spider-Man movie is already in production,
yeah,
you know, he's gonna be fine.
So, yeah, I mean, what was there any talk about that kind of stuff? Was there like any worry or upset, or was he like, it's a movie?
Yeah, I mean, he's a 10-year-old, so he thought the action was really cool. He didn't seem like emotionally devastated. I think we did talk about how even the characters that die at the end, that they could be brought back, that this may not be all there is, and that kind of thing. And he seemed good with that. You know, he'll more want to talk about the lines he thought was funny or the parts he thought were funny. You know, he really liked Thor calling Rocket Rabbit. And something really neat, I think, like looking back on previous, well, I guess there's only been the two Guardians movies where we've seen Rocket before, but normally he'd be quick to correct somebody, and he doesn't correct Thor. Yeah. He just lets him call him Rabbit. He's good with that. I think the way they all look up to Thor when he shows up. So
there's also that thing, that's like in the second Guardians, though, where it's like he doesn't know about all these Earth animals.
Right.
So he's like, I took it as a thing where he's just like, oh, if he's saying it, it must be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, let's talk about that scene for a second. Did you feel like Thor was being sort of like needlessly jerky in that scene where he first meets the Guardians?
Maybe, but he's been through a lot.
Yeah.
He's
been through a lot in other times and other things, and it's not like he's just... I was like, Thor, why are you being like this? And more importantly, I mean, it's like, why did y'all write him like this? I don't think it would be like, even just like stuff where he's just taking Pete's stuff. And like you could, if you just had him just taking it.
Oh, like where he's taking the food and he says, I don't care. Or I forget what the line
he
is.
He says, he's like, that's my food. And he goes, not anymore. And it's like, that's not to me that I know you have that scene like later with watch all of a sudden, just as we're talking about this, like my opinion on the movie totally turns like all just based on this. You know, you get that other scene later. I get that he's like trying to, you know, put on a tough face because he's just been through all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, he had already just been through a lot of stuff.
I mean, so, yeah, that scene, it's right after he's lost everything and everyone.
But he wasn't mean to everybody. He wasn't mean to Gamora. He comes over there and he's like, I understand, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, Peter has been through a lot. Especially, that's the thing, is just like, having just recently rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, the fact that he is able to not be just the biggest jerk in the world after all the horrible stuff that he's been through, that he keeps being like, and obviously his joking is, people do not give Peter Quill enough credit for being a good dude in spite of all the really horrible stuff that happens to him.
And yeah, the impression that he was raised pretty poorly too.
Yeah.
With these pirates who kept joking about eating him.
Yeah, like, and I saw a lot of people, like, there's a lot of memes and stuff going around of people, like, basically saying that everything, all the bad stuff, basically the way the movie ends, is all Star-Lord's fault.
That if he hadn't lost his cool when they were trying to get the gauntlet off?
Yeah. Even though what happens is all clearly part of the plan. Like, I mean, not that specific part, but it was like, if you jump ahead to the end of the movie, you know that it's like, this was all part of, like, this was Doctor Strange's plan.
Right.
We have to assume that they talked it out. You know, when he says that whole, but it's like, he's just being, why are you being nice to Gamora and a total jerk to this guy who has,
I don't know. I know.
I'm just like, it just felt, you feel
it didn't
like
rub me quite as bad.
You feel like Thor has been through so much stuff. It's like, he's not that jerk anymore. Like, mm-hmm. First movie Thor or like Avengers Thor being like that.
He's arrogant.
I'd go, sure. Yeah, yeah. But he's like learned so much.
Yeah, that's his whole story arc, is that he's, because of his arrogance, because of his pride, is when he's banished from Asgard, he's sent to Earth.
Yeah, and it's like you see, it feels like he's come so far. But it's just that he's nice to everybody else.
Does Peter say something that digs at him like right from the beginning when he first wakes
up? No, he's like, I don't know why this bothered me so much. It's not like it wrecked my enjoyment, but I was just like, really, especially just that one part that he says it, that one line, and that he says it like that, just was like, this is not who you are now. This is not necessary. And it's like, because he's comforting to Gamora. I just feel like he's grown so much that it feels like it's a regression.
Maybe Thor kind of came out of Ragnarok a little, and going into this movie a little two dimensional. Like, he's the kind of the joking, rude, but maybe not the fully developed.
The whole podcast now has just got to be unraveling this.
But it shouldn't be.
No. You're like, I've got so much more I want to talk about, and you are really hung up on this.
Thor has some of the coolest moments, action-wise, in the movie, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's get back to him being a jerk. Oh, man, yeah. So, and I sort of skipped that to, we were still, you didn't have any of that kind of discussion of, didn't have to deal with any of that stuff.
No, I mean,
or what do you think?
I didn't have to, like, comfort him because he was upset. He wasn't like that about it. My girls would have been, you know, they're not ready for that yet, but he's a little older, so, he could handle
it. Was there any discussion about, like, you said that there was talk of that, like, yeah, they could bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we did talk a little bit about that. We talked a little about the source material and, the comics and stuff, but.
Well, speaking of the source material, this is the kind of thing where it was like watching the movie the whole time, and even like when they announced it and mm-hmm. like all the lead up to it. The whole time I was just, you know, being so familiar with, you know, even though there's a lot of sources that they're pulling from, but it's basically the Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
I mean, it's a different reasoning and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and there's characters they don't have, but the nods in there to Infinity Gauntlet are pretty cool.
But I was just going, there's no way they're really going to do it. You know, like...
the wipe out half of everyone thing.
Yeah, just the whole kind of thing of like Thanos gets them all. And I just kept thinking, there's no way.
Yeah.
And then, man...
they're not going to go all out with it.
They really did it. Yeah. And I was just like... I was more like... I was more shocked and not even upset. It was more like pleasantly surprised that it was like, boy, they really did it.
So after seeing it Thursday night, I did go back and skim through the Infinity Gauntlet trade to see kind of what all stuff they touched on. And there were some cool nods. There was stuff that obviously that it's different characters because they don't have those characters. Instead of Silver Surfer crashing into the Sanctum, it's Hulk. But it's got the same line, you know, Thanos is coming there to Doctor Strange. And then the last shot of the movie before the credits is the last shot of the comic of Thanos on this farm, just kind of sitting down and on his porch there. And that was
on his porch.
Thanos's porch. Yeah, so that, and yeah, there are neat little nods.
He's got one of those, like, hand painted, like, artsy craftsy signs that says, bless this mess.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's neat stuff in there. But then there's also stuff that's wildly different and they couldn't have done, probably shouldn't have done. What they did was probably better in a lot of ways than.
That's kind of the thing that I almost feel sometimes like these movies being so good are kind of ruining some of the comics for me, because it's like, it used to be superhero movies, well, one, were few and far between, and you wouldn't get out of a superhero, like a comic book movie, what you could get out of the comics.
Right.
Either like, you know, it's older ones and the special effects can't be up to the
level. Yeah, you can't afford to do all that.
You can't really pull off the stuff that you could do in a comic. Or just the quality would be like, oh boy. And you go, I know this movie's kind of lame, but the whatever comics have got so much more going on. And there's all these characters. It's not just this small group, you know, or it's not just this one guy. There's all this supporting cast and all this stuff. And now Marvel has just, DC not so much, but Marvel has just made these movies where you're like, this really feels like a comic book world.
Yeah. And no, they've crossed the threshold to where, they can do anything that, special effects wise, whatever. There's nothing that's too big to pull off. And honestly, if someone, you know, the whole idea for forever has been, well, the book's always better than the movie. But in the case of Infinity War, it's not. You're not going to find a comic book that's better than, I mean, there's individual moments that are always going to be classic, and there's always going to be storylines that are awesome and hold a special place in your heart, but there's not like a direct analog. And certainly if you go to the Infinity Wars comic, which this was not, their Infinity Gauntlet is based on, I don't know that it's going to hold up.
I don't have to say I don't know. I think it definitely does not hold there. 'Cause I mean, also, you know, you have to take into account the things of like what was, like the style of comic writing at the time, or for those kind of things. And there's just, that's the biggest thing I think is, well, and also that you knew they had to pace it out for, what is it, 6 issues of the original Infinity Gauntlet?
That sounds right. Yeah, 6 issues.
I think that's what it is. You know, they know that they're pacing this thing out. So there's stuff in there that's like, why am I seeing this? Like, get back to what's going on with whatever, you know, which... Speaking of, the movie did an amazing job. Even seeing it that second time, I'm still just so impressed by... Because when you're watching it for the first time, it's hard to think... You're just so kind of swept up in what's happening.
Right.
You're just trying to like hold on and go, oh, this, now that, you know, and you're just along for the ride. And then but seeing it the second time, how well they balanced having this huge cast and having so many things going on at once. Yeah. And the pacing being where you're going, like, you're not with anything long enough to get, to feel like it starts dragging.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because as soon as you kind of get this is kind of like, I always said that the first Avengers movie was kind of unfair in that it's basically just all payoff.
Right.
It's like it's better than some of these other movies because it's
paying off on stuff they built up.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's just the whole thing is like dessert. I mean, and it explains stuff, you know, it's not like the story isn't there. It's right. Like there's no introductions. It still kind of gives you a good introduction to everybody. But I was like, it's hard to try to compare it.
To the
earlier Marvel. Yeah, because you're going like, it just is like, which one's more fun to watch? Mm-hmm. Well, the Avengers is all just recess. It's just, oh, this, then this, then this. But with this, there's even more of that going on. But it's also still like really, there's a ton of stuff being introduced and like throughout the movie. And you're like learning about people and
yeah,
like absolutely. Character dynamics and like this and that. It's just what a...
Characters are meeting each other for the first time, and with 40-something characters, that could have drug, or that could have been a little bit redundant, but it never felt that way.
Yeah, they do such a... Just the balancing act here on the balance between serving the story and the characters and making it fun and watchable, but also understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And where you never feel like, I never felt like I didn't know what was going on.
No.
You know, you always feel like this is what they're dealing with right now. And this is what this group is dealing with right now. And this is, and, but it was like, especially that first time watching it, there was a point where I was just, you know, so wrapped up in what's going on. And then at some point, and I think this was still like in the first half of the movie, something happens and then we cut back to one of the other groups. And I was like, oh, that's right.
They're doing something exciting.
They're
too.
Still doing something. Yeah, I was like, I was like so wrapped up in each of the individual sort of story point, or not points, but you know, like the B plots. There's like all right. these different B plots. The whole movie is basically just B plots leading up to the main
right.
point of the thing. And I don't mean that in like negative way. Nothing really has. I mean it in the way that
the Tony Stark stuff's not more important than the
yes.
Captain America.
Everyone's
stuff
kind of like on equal footing.
Yeah.
None of it's like this is the more important part of the story. It's like these guys are doing this.
And I wonder if it's because you know with the MacGuffins being those Infinity Stones, each one is he needs them all, so
yeah.
each one is important. So each one yeah. has weight when they guard it, when they lose it. But yeah, the 2.5 hour runtime flies by. It does not feel like that long of a movie at all.
It definitely feels like I felt like it was long in that it felt like so much has happened, but mm-hmm. I did not feel like it in like an in-world, even though it's all probably happening pretty quick, kind mm-hmm. of in terms of how long it is from when the movie starts to when it ends for all these characters. It felt long in that way that it was, man, so much has happened. Yeah. So much has transpired in this short amount of time.
So they packed a lot in there. Was there anything that wasn't in there that you wish was? Like something you would have liked to see that they just couldn't
well,
get in there?
It's not necessary, but it's like, of course, I would be happy to see more with Captain America. I think the only thing that I would like to have taken out... And I get why it's in there, but I'm just so
where Thor's taking the food.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. No, it was the part where the part where Rhodey's having to talk about the accords with like just seeing those like government people in suits
yeah.
doing their like blah blah blah. And then that guy trying to get in, you know, even though it's Ross. You know, but him trying to be in Captain America's face. It's like, you better get on your hands and knees and beg this man.
I wonder if they mean in, you know, the screenwriters, the directors felt like if we don't have some nod to that,
yeah.
it's going to be like Civil War didn't matter. We just show
exactly.
up and nobody cared. So that was probably their little
no,
nod.
No, I totally understand why, but I was just like, also, so I've rewatched recently. It was like Thursday night after we got home from the movie, I was just like, one, I was, if I could have gone and seen it again immediately,
just back to back,
I would have.
Mm-hmm.
If I could have gone and then after that, gone to see it a third time on that same night, I very well might have. But so I got home though, and I was just like, I want to be watching this again, but I, since I can, I was like, I just want to be in this world.
I think so, that's why I skimmed the trade. It's because you had that same kind of feeling.
And so I was like, I was pulling the more recent Marvel movies mm-hmm. off the shelf and was going like, oh, let me watch. But I was like, I don't want to just watch the movie. So I was like, let me just start watching some of the like special features on.
Yeah.
The big thing was I was like, I went back, I started on the special features on Doctor Strange. Because Doctor Strange is great in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. He's got a great, yeah. He's a great role in this movie.
Yeah. And it's so nice to see someone talk to Tony like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, see, Doctor Strange being a jerk because he is fine.
Right.
And it's also because it's nice to see somebody like just push back at Tony. He's like, I don't care. I'm not impressed by you right. at all. You're not my boss.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing you do...
Stop leaning on the Cauldron of the Cosmos.
Yeah, yeah.
And swats him. Or the cape swats
him. Yeah. You know, like, he's just in such a different place from right. them that he's like, yeah, you guys are doing whatever. He's like, I'm doing stuff that you guys wouldn't even begin to know how right. to handle. And so it made me want to go back and just, like, kind of get more of a feel for... Doctor Strange. I was like, because it's been a while since I saw it.
I had a thought about, and not that it necessarily goes here, but I'm worried I won't think of it again. Since we're talking about Doctor Strange and him giving up the time stone, and I was trying to remember the first Doctor Strange movie. Like, him not wanting to give it up, is there something about him possessing it that's keeping Dormammu at bay, or it's just the threat of it? And if Dormammu realized he didn't have it, he could return.
No, he basically, they just made a deal.
Yeah.
You know, and he's sort of like, I assume in the wizarding world of Doctor Strange, as opposed to Harry Potter, when you, you know, like when you make...
So I'll let you out of this time loop if you promise not to invade Earth.
Yeah, and it's like, but I'm sure there was some kind of magic pact made, not yeah. just a... I guess I don't...
See, I felt like it was, as long as he's got the time stone, he could always just put him back into that loop. So that time stone was essential to keeping Earth safe from Dormammu. So when he's like, I'm not giving this time stone up for anybody, not to save you, not to save that kid, I'm not giving it up. It's yeah. not happening. That for me, that's because that's all that's keeping the Dark Dimension at bay.
I think that could possibly play into it in the future. You know, like that there's... But it also seems like, you know, in the comics, it's like in Infinity Gauntlet, there's like a whole thing where... The cosmic entities like get together and they're
right,
like, and
right.
they're like
the living tribunals.
Yeah, and they're watchers. Like, we can't have this dude, this purple right. guy with all of these infinity stones. And he's like, I don't care about you guys, you clowns. Right. Like, get out of here. I've got this thing now.
Yeah.
I'm in charge now. So I don't know. I'm curious. But that was also kind of the thing is I was like, hey, if you can. If the Infinity Stone or the Time Stone can do that with Dormammu, do something. Why aren't you doing something like that? I mean, and I guess Thanos said something about it, you know, the fact that this is your most powerful weapon and you never used it.
Right.
And I was kind of like, why good doesn't point. He use it?
Yeah. I mean, he could have done to Thanos what he did to Dormammu.
Yeah.
Caught him in some kind of loop and he would have never gotten the last stone. Just repeat the same 2 minutes.
You know, and I guess it's like, but I mean, maybe there's...
From a storytelling standpoint, that would have been really boring and redundant. Yeah. But
it wasn't boring in
I'm saying if they did it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Superman just fly the world back
exactly.
in time every time?
Exactly.
yeah, you can kind of only pull some of those tricks once, or the audience is like, boo.
Well, and maybe that's good. It's good that he loses the time stone then before any future Doctor Strange movies, because it'll yeah. be just like, well, why don't you just do that again?
Oh, but so going back and watching that, and mm-hmm. When first of all, I have a much greater appreciation for Doctor Strange than I did before I watched the special feature stuff. Is like just looking at all the stuff that went into making that movie, because that movie I think I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally good, but it was like there's a lot of stuff that I think goes into it that maybe the same deal with with Thor. Where you don't appreciate it immediately because it's not quite so surface level. But it's like, just there was a whole special feature on... I promise all this is going somewhere. there's a whole special feature on just how they... It's like three different people, you know, or like main people with departments under them doing the, coming up with how they do the magic in that movie. Cause like one step of it is martial arts training, fighting.
Okay.
One step of it is, one step of it is like they hired this guy that's a dancer to like integrate all this stuff. Like they basically had all these different people doing the stuff to like, cause there's like what the hand gestures and stuff are to do.
And all Chris is doing all these hand gestures right here, which you can't
perfectly
see.
Just like, magic is happening. Yes. Hold on. I need to stop.
They're spinning, sparking wheels.
But all of that stuff. And it's like watching when you see just a whole, like,
so a lot of thought went into those gestures. It's not just, ad lib or,
It's like, and seeing a whole, like a gym full of people and just their like regular, you know, like sweats and stuff, having to like master all of these, like, you got to do it like this. And it's like, not just like in their hands or, I mean, not just in their arms and sort of like, but the guy they hired, that's like the main dude behind it, who's been a dancer for all this time. And he was showing like all the different hand things.
Almost like sign language.
Yeah. And it's like in the movie, it's like simplified because everybody is not to this guy's level, but he was like showing some of the stuff. He's like, and then you can do this. And like, and it was just like, I did not even know hands could move like that. You know, I said I was going somewhere with this. And now I've completely forgot. Oh, I just kind of wanted to like live in that world of like watching the movies again and trying to see if like, how does some of this stuff play into some of this other stuff? Yeah. What does this mean? And do you feel like they could have gotten away? I'm going to come back to this. Actually, you know what? I just have to tell you this part.
Okay.
Because also then after I watched Doctor Strange, I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. And then I was like, oh, let's get back into Captain America. And I watched part of Civil War, which made me go, I need to go back and watch Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. Also, just the fact that, like, because Joe and Anthony Russo directed Civil War and Winter Soldier and now this, I was like, man, how did these guys do this? But I was watching, and I left this sitting here like this as proof. I was watching Winter Soldier. And just sitting here on the couch watching it. And the part in the movie where Steve sees the mask come off of the Winter Soldier for the first time. And he turns around and he sees that it's Bucky. And the music just does that like boom.
Yeah.
Like as it's dawning on him. Right. I cannot stress enough how exactly like on cue it was. This petal, you know, this bloom of this flower, right as it happens, just fell off of here. you guys can't see this. I'm going to take a picture of this and post it. There's just this one. There's April has these flowers in here on the coffee table. And it was just, I like was dancing around in here. I was like, oh my God, that was so incredible. Just that it was so on time. That story has nothing to do with anything other than I need people to know what happened because it was incredible.
Well, now they know.
Now they know. But let me ask you this. This is tying into just this world. We've got all these characters, all this stuff. And the movie made me, going back and watching all this stuff, this doesn't strictly have anything to do with Infinity War other than just the idea that we've got all these characters and we know all these people, but there's still so much stuff we don't know about. There's all these in-between moments because it's like it's been 2 years since Civil War in their world.
Right. A way they've decided, you know, I guess Kevin Feige and whoever else that develops the stories decide to do it is that the movies take place in real time. So if it's been a year between the last movie, it's been a year for the characters too. And we're just seeing the
not in all the cases.
Except for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is it Guardians the only one that doesn't?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. But like there's a line in Civil War after they've rebrainwashed what's his name?
Bucky?
Zemo.
Oh, yeah.
Zemo comes in and does that after they've caught Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that thing to him that like turns him back into the Winter Soldier. And Black Widow is there and she's like one of the first people trying to stop him. And as he's like, you know, beating her up or whatever, basically, like, or not beating her, they're fighting. She says something like, you could at least act like you recognize me.
Mm.
And I've seen that movie so many times. That was the first time I was like, wait, what? And I was like, what have their other interactions been like in the other movies?
Yeah, just Winter Soldier's the only other.
They have that part in Winter Soldier, but she's the only one who knows who, she's the one who tells Steve who he
is. Right, when they're in the hallway. And
yeah.
She
shows where he shot her, and he's like.
So then they've got history. Yeah.
But they've got, but what history do they have? Because, you know, they're, obviously they have, they really have some history in the comics. You know,
they keep promising a Black Widow movie.
Which I would love so much if it's.
And that might be what they mine for
the
that.
The two of them. But I was like.
Oh, yeah. If they did, I mean, obviously Black Widow deserves the focus.
Yeah.
She deserves to be the lead.
But she needs, it's not going to be, she's not going to be just the only person in the movie. You want her to have a supporting cast. And it helps if you've got these characters that.
Yeah.
Like, there's. I was just like, oh my gosh, have they really been hinting at this back in that? Is that what they're hinting at? Is that what they're getting at? Or are they just going like, hey, remember we fought in Winter Soldier?
I don't think it's just that. I feel like, yeah, they're hinting at a shared history.
Because it's like she, you know, but obviously it's like that might be something she doesn't want to tell. Like, oh, we were both, because she used to be working. That's a whole big thing.
And to go back to the comics, you know, they've been romantically involved. They've got a lot of shared history being operatives together and those kind of things.
Even if there's like none of that romantic stuff, which I think they do make a wonderfully cute couple in the comics, in the times when they've had them.
At least makes more sense than her with Banner.
Yeah. But it was also, it's like that part when he comes in Infinity War and he's like, hey.
That's it. Hey, that's literally all of it.
I was like, oh yeah, this is like heavy for them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to spend a lot of time on it. You just get it.
Yeah. If you'd seen those other movies.
Yeah, yeah. But you can still kind of get it, just even if you hadn't, just the way that they say that to each other, just the way they act it.
Yeah. Anthony Mackie or somebody's like, this
Anthony
is
Mackie
awkward.
Goes, this is awkward. Yeah, Falcon. Man, I'm jumping all around now, but just as anything makes me think of something, I'm like, oh, this. I did love that, like, Rhodey and Falcon are, like, real buddy-buddy in this.
Yeah.
Like, that they were, like, the two flying guys, you know?
And it's Rhodey that's walking around calling out for Sam when he disappears at the end. I guess they feel like if they wanted it to be a meaningful loss for each character, you know, so Cap's losing. He's losing everybody, but he's losing Bucky, and so it's kind of like War Machine's losing Sam. And
you know, a lot of those felt rough, you know, those initial ones. And also, man, I did not think they were going to just, this. Like, the second person they get rid of is Black Panther.
Right.
And I was like, whoa. Even though I know this is all going to work out, I was like, oh, they're real.
People are going to be mad.
But, like, when it happened to Bucky, I'm like, oh, no. But okay, I get it. But man, the second one, and this was probably very intentional, and like, but the fact that the second one then was Black Panther, go like that was immediate when I was like, oh, they're doing this.
They're going. So okay, I have a lot of thoughts about who disappeared, who didn't, what it means. But before that, I do want to say one thing about on the topic of things that I kind of wished was in the movie that wasn't. And there's not much. It's really, I
cannot believe that. First of all, congratulations on catching that anchor, finding where you left that anchor of this is the thing. That's all I wanted to say about that previously was just like in Winter Soldier, in Civil War, like all of this stuff dealing with like people, old white people in suits trying to tell these superheroes, you can't do this. Like we're threatened by your youth and power,
right?
Basically, it just like you can, like, that's the thing I want the least.
They should have been like, oh my goodness, we're so glad you're here.
Yeah, we Ross should everything. Have been like, yeah, he really should. Instead of doing that, like, arrest, I get they wanted to have Rhodey have a thing where he's like clearly showing he's on the superhero side.
You know, on the second pass, though, that scene hit me weird in a different way because. It's like maybe they didn't realize things are as bad as they are yet. Because they just saw this one spaceship come, do a little bit of damage, but nothing like the battle in New York. But then
no,
Ross-
there's been two. Because there's the one in New York and then the one in Scotland, which is because that's where Cap and them have picked up Vision.
Okay, so yeah, you're right. But still, nothing on the scale of... I mean, Ross's line is the world is on fire. And it's like, well, is it that? And if it's that bad, then you should be begging these guys to come back. Or you don't realize it's that bad, and that explains why you're like, ah, you guys again. But anyway, those guys. I'm glad Rhodey dismissed them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He said, well, that's a court martial, but
it better not be. Kidding me?
Maybe Ross was part of that.
The second one, man. The second one better be them. The entirety of the world's governments just like kissing the Avengers' feet.
That's the first 45 minutes. A thing I wish they would have had in there, or it wouldn't even need to be in this movie. I want to see Thanos get that first stone on Xandar. I want to see that. I don't want it just to be mentioned in a line, and it doesn't even have to be in this film, because the way this film opens is so beautiful. I wish it was like an after credits scene on Guardians Volume 2 or something. It makes sense for Guardians more than Ragnarok, because that's where you had the Xandar stuff in the past. But if the final scene of Guardian Galaxy Volume 2 could be Thanos hitting Xandar hard, getting that first power stone, and then boom, like, I would have loved that.
I'm sorry. It just made me laugh because it literally is the Power Stone, but there's also, do you remember that game, Power Stone?
No.
Okay. There's a video game called Power Stone, and it's like one of my favorite fighting games. And then they did an anime about it that I just love. It's like kind of forgotten at this point, except by people who care about Capcom's not as well celebrated fighting games.
Right.
So I just, everything about it was like, this is for me. Because it's everyone in it. The characters in it, it looks very, it's all sort of like a superhero-y kind of world. And like the designs, everything just looks super cool. But everyone has these powers, well, they don't all have, but they can get these power stones. Where they're already like these cool fighters, and they're like very distinct personalities. But then they get the power stone, or they use it to change. And then they turn into like basically like a bigger than life, like superhero version of themselves. Kind of where it's like, none of it's like, I guess the British / American, I don't know, guy, he's the one that looks the most like a superhero. But everyone does the thing, one of the guys basically looks like he turns into Goku or something. Okay. Not important, but you said that. I was like, wait, Power Stone, what?
Yeah, so I would have liked to see that somewhere. I kind of didn't like him just already having it. And I get like,
we've only got so much time.
Yeah, that doesn't need to be how the movie opens, but there it could have been that. It wouldn't even have been a second. Because, like, you wouldn't want to do a whole invasion of Xandar, because we've already seen that with Ronan the Accuser and the big battle. But just Ronan, just Thanos showing up there on Xandar and maybe overpowering somebody and then grabbing the stone. Or if they wanted to save all the Thanos stuff for this movie, just having one of his lieutenants show up, overpower some guys, get the stone, and then just the last shot of, like, yeah, Thanos putting it in the gauntlet. I would have liked to see that.
Yeah.
I felt yeah, just a little bit. Because I remember thinking, so a big lead up for fans as this movie is Infinity Wars on the horizon, a big lead up in fan discussions is, well, where are all the Infinity Stones? He's got to get them all. We've known from the first Avengers movie, there is a Thanos, and he's going to want to get all these stones. So, like, and it keeps more and more movies go by, and there's a joke of, well, he doesn't have any. Like, he's still got zero stones. And so a big thing is like, well, where are the stones? Well, we know this one's over here. Stephen Strange has the time stone. Vision has the mind stone. There's some. And so just kind of keeping track of, well, this one's on Asgard. This one's on Xandar. So that was a big thing of like thinking, okay, well, Thanos is going to have to hit here, here, and here as part of the collection. I wonder when they're going to do that. Is that going to be in some of these other movies, or is it going to be all? Anyway, so I would have liked to see that. It's somewhere. I wonder if that was something that they even thought about doing but ended up cutting, or I'd be curious to hear all that. But I would have liked to see him get that stone, too.
Do you feel like there's a chance? Well, I would love to see this. And supposedly, Kevin Feige has said that Nova has, like, immediate movie potential now. And which makes me go, like, oh, they're going to try to do that thing of, like, oh, you're the... Basically, it's like the last Starfighter.
Right, because Nova Corps is wiped out now. So.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, now we need a main Nova to come be, to rebuild. Well, it's kind of like, isn't that what happens in Annihilation or After yes. Annihilation
yeah.
or something.
Yeah,
it's basically Richard Rider is the last one, and he has to rebuild the Nova Corps.
And that's a pretty. I mean, yeah, the Annihilation wave hits Xandar, and he it's just in rubble, it's in ruins, and yeah, I think, and maybe they're saving it. Maybe in the opening of a Nova movie, it could flash back to Thanos hitting Xandar, wiping it out, and that could be cool.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some. Maybe it's not that they cut it; it's that they're saving it.
Yeah.
It's not a bug. It's a feature.
I have no problem trusting them implicitly.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
Like, just no problem whatsoever. I feel like. Was that what you were coming back to? Was something you would have liked to have seen?
Yes. I'd ask you a little bit ago, is there anything, like, the movie's packed full of stuff. Is there anything you wish was in there that wasn't in there?
No. Also, man, okay, I got to go back to Thor being a jerk. I don't think he's giving... First of all, Peter is half celestial.
Right.
So it's like, he's as much of a... Well, maybe not as much. I mean, but it's like, so I'd say, like, he's as much of a, you know, quote unquote god as Thor is.
Or at least before Ego was dead. Now he's fully mortal. But
well, yeah, I mean,
but
I
still,
know.
Still, that's his lineage.
Yeah, I mean, that's still like his, you know, and it's like the Celestials in Marvel's greater, in the comics at least, you know, they're like greater sort of cosmology, theology.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Celestials are more gods than the Asgardians, because they're basically just
aliens.
They live a long time and they've got crazy powers or whatever, and they still get, you can shoot them,
right?
And the Celestials are these, you know, crazy powerful, big, like
Kirby looking abstract characters. Yeah.
And like what Ego could do in just the movie version, the Kurt Russell version of him, you know, that he makes a whole, just can create anything on the planet, right? And he's got all, like, that's way more impressive, to say nothing of the fact that Peter for a time by himself
could do that. Yeah.
And then like, well, but then the guard that they beat somebody, they were like, no one can hold this thing. It just destroys
The first Guardians.
And Pete catches it. And it's like, I'm, you know, that the Guardians work together to use it to beat Ronan.
And then the Nova Prime has that line about there's something in you that's ancient. We don't know exactly what.
Yeah, which then we find out in the next, which is pretty cool that they were like already teasing that in the first one. They knew that where they were going to go with it. I'm just, man. And
Thor wouldn't just know that just looking at it.
No, but I know. But it's like, I'm saying, as the writers, give these jokers, give these jerks some credit.
You want to see them being respectful to each other.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you're a great hero. Oh, I think you're a great hero. Thanks. Yeah.
I like, but he's like so nice to everybody else. Like, why are you just picking on this one guy? And then...
we can't talk about that anymore.
But, you know, I was going to say, that's like, that should be... you know, their experience with the Power Stone should, it seems like that... seriously first-hand experience,
right?
Like I don't know, I could have seen that maybe like playing more into something, because man, when he puts that stone, he doesn't even do anything with it. He just puts the stone up against Thor's head, and it's, you know, he's screaming and stuff, and Pete caught that thing with his hand. but that's what I was gonna say, was it's like, it was really making me mad that there's like a percentage of people who saw this movie and who were about it, but were like blaming Star-Lord for everything because he got mad at Thanos over, and I'm just like, I don't get how you come away with it with, let's be mad at him.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a perfectly, I mean, they created that emotional moment. And it was visceral. It was real. He's upset, and you can feel it right with them. They created a moment where you're on the edge of your seat, because you also are like, no, don't, like, if you could just hold it in for like 2 seconds. But you also can totally understand that.
Why is it so hard to get that glove off his hand?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So going back on the second pass, I think I mentioned to you in the theater, there's stuff that I caught. A lot of it was around that. The scene surrounding that moment, of things I didn't realize what they were doing. A lot of that was they weren't
trying
to make
him from
fist.
Close his hand.
Yeah, when the cloak wrapped around, the blanket of death wrapped around his hand, it was so he wouldn't close it.
Well, and Doctor Strange says, don't let him close his hand.
And so I think that's a line that people were either cheering or laughing. So I didn't hear that line in the first time. And then again,
there's also a lot of explosions and stuff going on. True. Yeah.
Tony shoots something onto his palm. It's too, just trying to keep closing. And I was like, well, so they're understanding that it's when he closes his fist that he uses it. And like, I totally missed out on the first pass. That's something I only saw in the second. Cause the first time I saw it,
I thought he had sent the first time I got that Tony put that thing in his hand. Like I got it at that point, but I thought he had just sent the cloak of levitation. I thought he had sent it to try to get it. Just go try to pull that off.
Or to slide a hand of stone off of there, if that's even possible. Like if they could have just got one, because all he needs to be is down one, or
still
to swap one.
Still seems pretty powerful.
Yeah. Or like, I don't. But I guess as far as for his end game thing. Yeah. And so I'm going to give up the time stone. But earlier you didn't notice I swapped out. You don't have this reality stone anymore, and that's how I made you think you won because I've got the reality stone. Anyway, that's a possible out you guys have if you're still writing Avengers 4. Is the cloak there, magic carpet from Aladdin.
Yeah.
Maybe swipe the Reality Stone and put a just a
the,
red rock
well,
in there.
Suppose they shot. They're done with.
Yeah.
They shot.
Blah, blah, blah. They don't need me.
Yeah. I don't know, Matt. I think they might.
I'm waiting for that call.
Yeah.
Hey, we need your ideas.
All I'm just... what do you think about some of the stuff in the movie where they, and I know that they did this stuff on purpose, supposedly, according to the Russo brothers, to try to like stay ahead of the audience's expectations and ideas and, you know, theories and postulating and all that stuff. But the way that there's stuff in the trailers that's not in the
there's
movie.
There's a lot this time. And I think that's been something I've been noticing more and more with movies in general. But this one, a lot of that is just...
They said that they did this some of this stuff on purpose, that they shot some stuff to put in the trailers intentionally to like sort of...
The big iconic, everyone in Wakanda charging at the camera has the Hulk in it, and he's obviously not the Hulk there.
The trailers still show the Hulk Buster
and
Hulk. The Hulk.
Yeah.
But so, what I was going to ask though is, do you think that it's really... They say that they put some of this stuff in to keep people guessing or to make it look one way, you know, just so people are not figuring it all out before the thing comes out. But I wonder, but there's also some shots that just look like cool stuff. And you're going like, did they just cut this out? They like fully did this scene and then like just cut it out for time? Or is it really that they put it in there or that was there some kind of like last minute decision? So specifically, speaking of the Hulk, and this is wild to me that even in a movie this big, there can be things like this that happen where it's like, so you know at the end, at the very end, and after everyone's just turned to ash, and Bruce is back there with the head off of the Hulkbuster, just like standing there like looking sad, but it's like his tiny head in that big Hulk. Everybody's just sitting there going like, what, you know, what's going on? And it looks so bad. It's like the only thing, everything, the CGI in this movie is incredible, especially on Thanos, where it's like, he's just, it's so impressive looking. Like, how well he emotes and like, he just, think about.
Bruce, Mark Ruffalo's head in the Hulkbuster doesn't look real.
Watch it. If you see the movie
I know what you're talking about.
It's not that it doesn't look real.
I feel like that every time with Iron Man. I feel like that. Anytime Tony's helmet kind of CGI disappears, it doesn't look quite right. Iron Man 3 had a lot of that for me where I'm like, it looks like just his head floating. I think that's maybe just an Iron Man.
This was
problem.
Just like, it seemed like especially egregious because he wasn't even moving, basically. He's just kind of like standing there and it looked so out of place. And there was a toy that came out that was of the Hulkbuster. It's like one of those Funko Pops. But it's a big one of the Hulkbuster armor with the Hulk like exploding out of it, which made me go,
wait, what?
Yeah.
There's a Funko Pop of the Hulk exploding out of the Hulkbuster?
Like he turned into the Hulk. And
that came out before the movie?
Yeah.
That's a big spoiler. Even though that didn't happen,
well,
just the
idea
of the Hulk.
I think that it was, whichever place had it was like, They weren't showing pictures of it until the movie came out.
Okay.
But then it was like, you could go ahead and order it. And obviously they had to have designed it and made it.
So somebody knew.
Months and months and months ago, you know, like, and it had to get approved by Marvel and blah, blah, blah. And then I started on the second watch, because I noticed that first time, I noticed how bad that he looked just standing there. And he's just, it's like just standing there. And it's, it looked like the kind of thing where they were just like, in my mind, it looked like the kind of thing where you'd go like, that got put in last minute.
Huh.
But also the way that the armor, you know, Thanos puts the armor when Hulk's running or Bruce is running at him in the Hulkbuster and he just like phases him into that rock. Mm-hmm. But then he's standing there all out of it.
And we don't see him bust out of it.
Yeah. And I was like,
I wonder if it was an afterthought. Like he needs to be in this shot as part of the original.
But that they had those scenes with like a fully rendered Hulk running with them. And I was just going like, what if this is actually something like a last minute change? And they just, because all those shots with Bruce, it's just Mark Ruffalo.
Sure.
By himself, you know, in the dark.
Right, right.
All that stuff. And it's like, you could have easily had the Hulk come out and then beat up that guy. And I was like, what if they just at the last minute decided to go, let's save the Hulk coming back for the next one.
I was going to ask, that was definitely one of the things heard people talking about a lot, and that I have thoughts, or I don't have thoughts about it. I just wonder about it. What is going on with the Hulk? Like some people are like, you know, don't make too much of it. He just got beat real bad in that first scene. So and the Hulk's not known for emotional maturity. He's like, I don't want to come back out again.
Yeah, he's scared.
But I feel like I get that. I feel like maybe there's something else though. I feel like there's something else to it that we don't know. Like, why does the Hulk not want to come out? Because I mean,
because he's like, to me, it's that he's like, well, and I heard Mark Ruffalo talking about sort of like the arc that the Hulk is basically on over the course of between like, you know, then these movies that he's been in.
Okay.
But especially like going from like where their relationship is at in Ragnarok, then to this, then to the next one. Mm-hmm. I think it's completely, it's like the Hulk is especially like, think about how they play him in, Ragnarok, where they're talking, because he really does more talking.
Right.
Hulk does more acting in Ragnarok than in the other movies,
right,
where he's actually talking and stuff. And it's like he's a big kid. He's a big strong kid.
Yeah.
But his emotional maturity is like very low.
Yeah. So maybe it is. He doesn't want to come back.
And he's not used to being. Bad. You know, he's not used to being. One, he's not used to getting beat up.
Right.
He's not used to just getting spanked. You know, I mean, like Thanos just really, without much effort, put a hurt on him.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I like the idea that it's just, he's like, no, it's scary out there. And he's, you know, it's such a new, and he's going to have to overcome that.
Yeah. And I get wanting to maybe save that for a big scene in the fourth one.
But it does make me wonder.
I kind of feel like he's such an important character. I get that, like the surface level of that, but I also wonder if there's something else.
Well, if he more just showed up again at the end of this, it would have just been to get beat up.
It wouldn't have meant much.
Yeah, it would have been just to get beat up again. But just the fact, if it was just the trailer, I would go, oh, they're just trying to trick us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the fact that they made and approved, designed, approved.
Right. That's a
lot.
People
signed off on this toy.
So, I mean, in movies, sometimes we'll have alternate endings, alternate takes. So we may see some of that before it's all over. I bet we won't see it until after Avengers 4. But I bet that might come out as a special feature somewhere.
Yeah.
What about thoughts about who disappeared and who was left behind?
Well, I thought it was interesting that basically... But I was looking at my notes at the same time. It's interesting that all of the like original Avengers,
the Phase One Avengers were left behind. Everybody that came out after Phase One was disappeared.
I was going to say this earlier. Like, it was rough seeing some of those people disappear, but none of it, like all of it, combined pales in comparison to Spider-Man.
Oh yeah,
that was like I was crying.
Yeah,
like, I was just,
yeah.
And it's not because I know that everything's gonna end up being okay, but it's like it's just an emotional punch. He's like, oh, he's a kid. Mm-hmm. He was literally on a school bus, and now he's disappearing, and he's
dying,
like,
on an alien planet, and
no one. It's he doesn't know,
Mr. Stark. I don't want to go.
Yeah, like, yeah. And especially when you've got that part at the beginning with Tony talking about having a kid, and it's like, yeah, Tony, you got a kid.
Absolutely.
Like, this kid is your responsibility.
Yeah.
And, like, the way that when he, just all of that, and you see it all over Tony's face when that happens.
But Tom Holland does a great job there acting, too.
Robert Downey Jr., too. I mean, obviously, I mean, we kind of expect it out of Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. is just kind of in shock.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's one after another after another.
But it seems like it's like.
But it's definitely going to be extra for Peter.
Well, the fact that it's like he's just. And this has all happened in the course of, you know.
It's been a rough day.
It's been a real rough day. And the fact. Well, even that he said he just had that dream the night before.
I hadn't even thought about that, but you're exactly right. That is what they were doing.
And he's
there.
Like, it's so
Peter
real.
Is his kid.
Yeah. And it's like that he can't even say anything. He doesn't.
He's in shock. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah, Tony, who is like always got something to say, especially when you take into account like how what happened with him,
mm-hmm.
like why Civil War happened the way it did with him was because over this one lady's son,
right?
Like becomes the face of his guilt,
right?
Becomes an external person to put all of his own. The guilt he
feels. And then, you see that in Homecoming, him wanting Peter to be safe, but then to succeed, to be better than him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the next generation.
And man, just all of that. Like, watching it the second time was like, I was paying way more attention to. I was not so just like, I know this is about to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more emotionally prepared this time. Well, it was funny. Corey and I were talking before the movie. We were like, of the stuff that they've announced, it's basically like the only thing that they've announced from the people that are in the movie is Spider-Man.
Right.
Corey was like, I don't know what's going to happen with any of these other people, but he's like, I know that at least Spider-Man's going to be okay.
Nope.
Nope. And like, holy cow. And just, you love this kid so much. Like Tom Holland is amazing. In all of the stuff he's been in all the three movies he's been in. But it's just like, oh
yeah, no, that was really great. And I don't even want to talk about the whole suspension of disbelief of how we know some of it's not going to stick because of production stuff we already know happened. I almost don't even want to get into that because it's like, nah. And I mean, they're not going to, but they could replace them. You could do, well, it's going to be Miles is going to be the next Spider-Man. Oh, Shuri is going to be the next Black Panther. They're not going to do that. We know they're not going to do that. But there's a way to make this feel like this could be it. These characters could be gone and let that emotional
weight
hit.
So did you have any kind of...
Yeah. No, I think there's definitely something to...
Wait, didn't Rocket not disappear?
Rocket is the... Rocket and Nebula are the only Guardians left. Like, the Guardians got hit hard. Like, they lost just about everybody. And Nebula's... kind of just barely a Guardian even. So
Well, it has been 2 years since Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Right.
She's been with them since then.
Okay. I guess at some point she broke off and went after Thanos on her own. So we don't know where in the timeline that happened, how long she's been.
But it sounds like it was like part of their plan.
So maybe more recently.
Because it's like she knew it was going to happen because she immediately then, she's like lying in wait.
Right.
And then, tells Mantis.
Yeah. Of course, man, if you've read the Infinity Gauntlet trade or story, Nebula's got a huge role in that. But yeah, for just Rocket and Nebula, they're the only Guardians left. And Guardians have a big depth chart. You know, they've got characters they can pull from. In Volume 2, they introduce some of those classic Guardians 3000 characters that who knows if James Gunn wants to bring them in or who knows if everyone's going to be brought back by Volume 3. But I think there's definitely something to the Avengers being stripped down to that Phase 1 crew that... That they lost all their Phase 2, Phase 3 characters, I think it's that's gonna be there's some meaning there. Of course, you've got Ant-Man and the Wasp out there, but if you add Ant-Man and the Wasp,
let's not forget.
Yeah, so with the exception of Hawkeye,
I'm saying that sarcastically because like who cares?
If with the exception of Hawkeye and I guess Captain America too, but adding in Ant-Man to the Wasp, and that's the original classic Avengers lineup from Avengers number one. And maybe they're doing something with that. Maybe they're trying to bring that team together so you kind of have them have a moment on screen. And then I think, you know, we talk about, you know, bringing the characters that disappeared back. I think the only way they're coming back is with a big sacrifice. Like maybe the old Avengers sacrifice themselves to bring the new ones back, something like that. Like
Heroes Reborn.
Yeah, they're going to jump into Thanos. And,
but then that's also what's going to, that will be how they get the Fantastic Four into this. Do you think there's a chance that any of the Fox deal will, and they're, because Marvel obviously has plans for the X-Men and for the Fantastic Four.
Right.
Do you think there's any chance that this next one is going to see any of those plans hinted at?
I want to, as much as I'd like it, I really don't think so. I don't, because it's, like you said, it's pretty much done filming and that stuff's not all ironed out yet. So they could surprise us. They worked out a last minute thing for Spider-Man to get into Civil War, but I'd love to be surprised. Like, man, I would be on my feet, you know, if they worked that in, but I'm not expecting it because they've got a lot to do. And if they're bringing in Captain Marvel, and they want this to feel like a meaningful ending to the last 20 movies. Probably not. I don't think we'll get X-Men Fantastic Four as much as I'd love that. If something works out.
What about not even a, like it plays into the plot, but like some kind of hint at it after they've fixed things.
Well, they could, I mean, in this, if it was like as small as the Captain Marvel hint was in Infinity War, then yeah, you could have something like that.
I'm just going to say, when we first saw him get that thing out of his pocket, you know, or out of his bag or whatever, and I was like, is that really just a beeper, like a pager that they've like glued some extra stuff on?
Yeah.
I was like, seriously?
Well, they glued that extra, it's a space pager.
Well, then I was like, I saw that, and then I was like, is that really just a, you know, a pager? And then once the, you know, then when the Captain Marvel logo comes up on it, I was like, oh, that's right, because it's Captain Marvel. And then I was like, oh, that's right, because her movie takes set place in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is what she would have left when she goes off to space. It's like
a space beeper.
It's like a souped up pager, you know, like, and I was like, oh, that actually does.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's like they've thought about this. It's like they haven't been making all these great movies. The last thing I'll say that I just have to get out about this movie is Peter Dinklage's cameo. And Kurt texted me about this and was like, I was just like, this is so, I don't know if Kurt saw this somewhere else.
Okay.
But just saying that, calling him the live action Sweetums from the Muppets, like, which is exactly what he looks like. And I was like, oh my gosh, what if, so now it's like, since Disney also owns the Muppets.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man. I was like, that's so amazing to imagine that it's like he's the live action Sweetums. And I was like, oh, so the Muppets versions of live action versions of the Muppets are also in this universe that they can bring in. And I was like, oh, how would they do? I was trying to think of like other actors they would get and then how they would do a live action version of these other Muppet characters, how that would fit into the, but it's also then I just start going like, oh, what if Marvel could just, or, you know, since Disney owns all these things now, like, oh, we've got to stop Thanos. We don't have enough. We're going to have to call in some friends from these alternate reality, use the reality stone, and then, like, here comes the Millennium Falcon.
They go
and
Lego Batman with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of liked the flip of expectations of having be really big. Like, he's the dwarf, and it's not like that in the comics, but it's fun that they did that in the movie. He's this huge, huge dude.
I liked just seeing that it's like there's more. That so much of the universe in these things so far is like everyone's still kind of operating off Earth scale.
Right.
Of like biped, everything's like bipeds and basically gets about this big, you know, just to see something where it's like, oh, their scale, he's, you know, a dwarf with these space dwarfs.
Right, right.
But it's like, you know, which makes you go, oh, so are there even bigger?
Yeah, because the scale of our human bodies have everything to do with the gravity of our planet. So if you increase or decrease that, you could have all different kind of size people. You know, that was fun. The everything with Stormbreaker was cool. I like.
Oh man, yeah.
Oh, so this is a theory from my son, because Groot was one of the ones that disappeared.
Right.
That Groot could be regrown from the handle of Stormbreaker.
There you go.
If you break off a bit there.
Did you hear James Gunn say that it's like Groot in this? That it's not Groot.
Yeah, it's son of Groot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess his movie. But I can see it both ways. I like it better if it is the original Groot, but then I can definitely grant that it makes the sacrifice in Guardians 1 much more if he actually died there on Xandar. Yeah.
Well, and also it could be like their understanding or the way that their race works.
Sure, yeah, we're putting our
It could be that it's like every Groot schematic. Has sort of got all the shared experiences and memories of.
Sure.
This is a
the
weird
all
way
spark,
to,
the yeah. all sap.
The all sap.
Yeah, yeah. We're just assuming it works that way, but no, he was pretty clear. This is not Groot. This is Groot's son.
Yeah,
Which is weird, but I guess it's fine. It's different than how the comics handle it, but it's still fine.
Yeah, weird place to end on. But the crazy thing is too is like we've talked about all this stuff.
Did you hit everything you were wanting to?
I did, but I still feel like we've only kind of scratched the surface of this movie. There's just so much going on, so much good stuff. I was completely shocked. Like, they really got me when it was the Red Skull.
Oh, yeah. No one saw that coming. No way.
I don't feel like there's any way anyone could have...
Now, much closer to that movie coming out, people are like, oh, he's just sucked into space. He's going to show up again sometime. But then he never did. And then now, here we are 14 movies later, no one was expecting it.
Yeah. Also, I thought it was really cool that... So they completely changed Thanos's motivation from Infinity Gauntlet.
He's not trying to woo death.
Yeah, his thing is the same. Even though in Avengers they did say it would be to court death, and he's like, I'm into that. That was his exact line, mm-hmm. actually. He's like, ooh, I'm into that.
I think that was just a...
Thanos' exact first line in the Marvel movies.
That's what the little the caption box would be. He smiles and then we see his thought bubble.
Yeah, he's like, actually.
The pop-up video.
This is what I'm into. And then they didn't do anything with that. They make him like way more not like just a one-note villain.
Right.
Like
he's a great villain.
He was so good in that. We see he cries.
Yeah.
This guy we've been building to this whole time.
Yeah.
And then he's got a crying scene in the movie. Like, yeah. And you,
now, all
you
his stuff with Gamora was so great.
You're right there with him.
And the actress that plays Gamora, Zoe
Saldana.
She, man, had did an incredible job as an actress. We saw her whole range, you know, in all those different scenes. That scene on that planet where he kills her, man, she goes through the whole range, you know, from laughing to upset and... Yeah, that was a great moment.
But I was going to say, it was really cool that, like, even though they changed it to where it's like he's not interested in death, and Marvel's death trademark never appears in this movie, but the way that Red Skull looks
is like a hooded skull. Yeah.
A hooded skull that very much looks like sort of that Ron Lim interpretation.
I hadn't even thought of that.
That's what I'm here for. These That's things neat. That are pointless that I...
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff you said I felt like was very much more like, this is important. Like, oh, this is what this, you know. And then I'm just like, what about how Peter Dinklage looked like a Muppet?
But yeah, I mean, because Red Skull did not have to be in there, but that he was really cool. And then, yeah, the imagery of a hooded, because he also didn't have to be hooded. He could have been in the same clothes he was in when we saw him.
Could have been in whatever, but he's like this floating, ethereal, hooded, like... I was just like, oh, man. I didn't think of that when we were watching.
And he's got to sacrifice... I mean, he's not sacrificing it to him, but he's got to sacrifice it in his presence to... Oh, and man, I don't want Gamora to really be dead.
No.
And so James Gunn, in addition to writing, directing the Guardians movies, was one of the executive producers on this one.
Yeah.
And he said that Guardians Volume 3 was going to be Gamora's movie. It was going to be... And whether that was just to throw everybody off the scent of this or... Then, or she comes back, or them grieving over her is going to be a big kind of emotional thrust. Either way, it's like, I didn't think Gamora was going to die.
That's the one where it's like, it still feels like we've just kind of like barely scratched the surface mm-hmm. of this. But anyway, we're out of time, I think. So thank you guys so much for listening. Matt, tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, on Twitter, it's at @XAMattDrain.
And have you got anything that you want them to check out?
No.
Anything you want them to be paying attention to? Yeah, I feel like there's so much stuff that we didn't get to. I don't know if we'll come back to this because we've got other stuff we want to record also. But definitely go see this movie.
Absolutely.
I feel like we could just sit here and talk about this all day. We need the time stone so that we could go back. Right. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. You folks are great. You know all the usual stuff. All the stuff you need is in the show notes, but you can follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. Thank you to people that like retweet when we say there's a new episode. That helps out better than just about anything. People that leave reviews on iTunes, Patreon people, patreon.com/TheChrisHaley, all that stuff. You're just the best. Can't appreciate you enough. I don't know. I feel so like there's still more that I want to talk about this movie that I feel don't stop talking about it, because as soon as I do, then you're going to remember all these other things as well. But
gotta stop somewhere.
So thank you guys so much for listening. And
let us know what you thought about the movie.
Yeah, for real. Absolutely. Tweet at us. Emails in the show notes at keepitclosetome.com. All that stuff. Put Infinity War in the header if you email us. Does anyone email anymore? I feel like everything is just on Twitter. But by all means, please do. We'll see you next time with some more of this podcast nonsense. And I'll just leave you with this.
I was watching a bunch of the Jimmy Kimmel stuff earlier on YouTube as I was just doing chores, washing dishes and stuff. And some of that stuff's great. Just the actors just sitting around and goofing off.
Yeah. I saw some of those where they were reading the mean tweets about them.
Yeah.
I only saw a couple of those.
Yeah. There is something with Tom Hiddleston. You know, he's at all these press things too, but then, you know, he doesn't get to be in a lot of the movie. But it made me think about the line they give him about "We've got a Hulk."
Yeah,
you know, echoing back to Avengers 1, where he gets told.
Yeah,
you know, that same thing was. I thought that was like a neat touch to give him that. You know, the Hulk doesn't end up
doing much.
But what a better way to show what a powerhouse Thanos is from go. I'm gonna put down your best dude without even trying.
See, this is prime Aces material. This is HQC, high quality content.